Good morning, everyone. Today's daf in Sukkah, Chav Zayin. We thank the Lupin Foundation for the sponsorship of the daf. The daf will be learned. L'zecher Nishmas, Lois Lupin Zaltzman. We are on, we'll start with the Mishnah, Chav Avon Beis. And the Mishnah is going to continue a discussion of the heterim, of dispensation. As we already learned, you have to eat in the Sukkah. There's a mitzvah to eat in the Sukkah in all 7 days of Sukkahs. Chilas Kava, you have to, if you're having an established meal, a salad meal. So you eat in your sukkah, and then the Mishnah says, the Mishnah doesn't mention anything by Shena in terms of sleeping, and the Gemara had a discussion yesterday about why it is that you can't even just take a little nap outside the sukkah. That was all in yesterday's daf. Now, story time. The Mishnah tells us a story. So they brought Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai litomas atavshel. So he just a te'ima, in other words, just taste. Right, here comes Yantav, and what better thing to do before Yantav and Shabbos than to taste some of the food? I make it a point. So Litom is a tafshel, Gamliel shtei kosavos v'dli shalmayim. Now Gamliel had two kosavos, two figs, and a bucket of water. V'amru, bucket, jug. Amru, halum l'sukkah. So they said, okay, let's go up to the sukkah. Now, if this all sounds familiar to you, it should, because we just discussed this Mishnah back in Yuma, the end of Yuma, the eighth parak. So we spoke at length about this Mishnah because we were trying to figure out exactly how big is a kosevis, is a shear of kosevis on Yom Kippur. One is not allowed to eat a kosevis on Yom Kippur. So what exactly was that shear? So it was unclear. The Amoraim argued, and the Amoraim used our Mishnah to help try to gauge. But anyway, let's discuss our Mishnah in the context of Sukkah. So fine, so we have two Tanaim. We have Rabbi Gamliel, and we have Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai. Two of the later Tanaim lived during the Chorban Habayis, Chorban Bayis Sheni. Each one of them had some sort of non-established meal, and they both insist on eating up in the sukkah. The Gemara is going to ask the obvious question. This goes right up against the previous Mishnah. In the previous Mishnah, we learned that if you're having a snack, you're allowed to snack outside the sukkah. And meanwhile, this Mishnah has two Tanaim who are running up to the sukkah even though they're eating a snack. The Gemara is going to express this question. The Gemara is going to articulate an answer. So when we get to the Gemara, we're going to discuss. In the meantime, however, they went to Rabbi Tzadok and they said to Rabbi Tzadok, here. So he did three things which were unusual and which were lenient. And they are the following. Ochel pachos micha beitza. So first of all, he ate less than a beitza. That's not unusual. That's fine. Ochel pachos micha beitza, but he ate less than a beitza outside of the sukkah. Okay. Nalu b'mapa. He didn't wash his hands. In other words, how did he pick it up? He picked it up with some sort of napkin. Now Rashi says that's not as a substitute for the mitzvah, for the requirement of washing hands before eating bread. But just simply, Rashi says Nikias. In other words, his hands were dirty. Whatever the case was, va'achlu chutz sukkah, he ate outside the sukkah, v'lo birech acharav, and he didn't bench afterwards. So three things that Rabbi Tzedek did that was unusual. So first of all, let's just make this point clear. Rabbi Tzedek was eating bread. Okay, clearly. I mean, obviously, you may have missed that point because in the context of the Mishnah, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was tasting a tafshel, some sort of cooked food, and Rabbi Gamliel was having two figs. So, in other words, we just shifted in the Mishnah from food, from cooked food and figs to bread. Okay, but fine. But now that we clarified that point, so Rabbi Tzadok was eating bread. So three things that were unusual. He ate outside the sukkah, on sukkah, because it was less than a kibbutzah. He didn't wash his hands, because it was less than a kibbutzah. And he didn't bench, because it was less than a kibbutzah. So of those three things, so Rashi just addresses one of them outright. The other two he doesn't really address. The one thing that Rashi addresses outright is, how come he didn't bench afterwards? Meaning that's a lot of bread to not bench. So Rashi reminds us, we learned together in the seventh parak of Brachos, how much bread do you need to eat in order for there to be a requirement to bench? So the two shitas in the Mishnah were Rabbi Meir shita of a kezias and Rabbi Yehuda shita of a kebetza. So Rashi just simply points out that Rabbi Tzadok holds like Rabbi Yehuda and not like Rabbi Meir. Fine. So that's Rashi says that's why he didn't bench, because he ate less than the kibbutzah. According to Rabbi Yehuda and according to Rabbi Meir and according to the accepted halacha, we bench for a kezias. So obviously, institutionally, we would have benched as would be the normative practice. But Rabbi Tzadok followed like Rabbi Yehuda, so that's why he didn't bench. Okay, good. Rashi points out just one other. Not a small point, but a critical point of Rashi is that obviously he made a bracha rishona, meaning he made a motzi. That's a bracha sanenin. That's a bracha that you make regardless of how much you eat. Rashi says, in other words, you can't put something in your mouth without making a bracha rishona. So obviously he made a motzi, but in terms of benching, so he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, where the shear is a kibetza, not a kazais. Okay. So that's the only thing that Rashi discusses in the Mishnah. Eating outside the sukkah, so let's just, for that, we could just simply argue, Rabbi Tzadok's position is fine, because we learned in the previous Mishnah, that if you're eating an achilas arai, if you're eating a light meal, a non-established meal, so you can eat outside the sukkah. So in terms of eating outside the sukkah, so that also, you don't need much in your hands to explain. You just simply go back to the previous Mishnah. What about not washing your hands? What about not doing the Tilas Yadayim? So there, we don't have Rashi, and we don't have a previous Mishnah. So how come he didn't wash his hands for the bread that he was about to eat? So again, clearly from the Mishnah, it's because it was less than a kibetza. Right. But okay, good. But that entitles us to ask the following question. Okay, so what? Meaning it was less than a kibetza. But you're not going to wash your hands for less than a kibetza? So there are two basic explanations that are given over here. The Achronim say this. I saw this in the notes. Rabbi Kornfeld, I think. Anyway, but the I don't know that much about it. Anyway, but there are two basic explanations in terms of why he didn't wash his hands. One possible explanation in terms of why he didn't wash his hands is because he didn't bench. Meaning he knew he was going to eat less than a kibetza, and he knew he wasn't going to bench, and if there's no benching, there's no washing. Meaning washing is linked with benching. And that's one possibility in terms of why there's no chovar netilas yadayim. That's a bit of a chiddush, that washing is connected with benching, and if you know you're not going to bench because you're going to eat less than a shear, so then you don't have to wash. That's a chiddush. Another possibility in terms of why he didn't wash his hands is because food less than a kibetza is not subject to tumah. We know that why do we wash our hands over bread? Right, so the answer to that question is because of truma, meaning the Kohanim eat truma, and the Kohanim want to be in a state of tahor when they're eating the truma, and we know that the Chachamim goes there that Yadayim are Sheini L'tuma, so therefore what the Kohanim need to do if they want to eat their truma, because remember, truma is sensitive, truma has more Kedusha, and if you have your Sheini hands and you touch truma, the truma is going to become a Shlishi, it'll be Pasul. So what the Kohanim have to do is that the Kohanim have to wash before eating truma. So what the Chachamim instituted is, you know what? Kohanim have to wash? Everybody's got to wash. So the Chachamim made a uniform gzera, or takana, let's call it a takana, it's more of a positive act. The Chachamim made a uniform takana that we all need to wash prior to our eating. Okay, so basically it's so that the food doesn't become tummy. Now we could say, another suggestion in terms of why we wash our hands, so that the food doesn't become tame, if I know I'm going to be eating less than a kibetza, and food less than the size of a kibetza, this is a standard shear of food, of tumas ochlim. If food is less than the shear of a kibetza, the food won't become tame. So maybe another reason why Rabbi Tzadok didn't wash his hands, it has to do with tumah, it has nothing to do with benching. It's just food. Rashi addresses that. Rashi says nikias. Just purposes of hygienics, but not.
He always did that.
Rabbi Tzadok had a Purell in his pocket, also.
No, I'm saying, did he always take it even after he washed his
hand? I mean, I don't know. I don't know, but I'm just showing Rashi. That's what Rashi says. Okay, going back to the fine. So anyway, so three things that Rabbi Tzadok did that were noteworthy. Number one is that he ate the pachos mikabetza of bread outside the sukkah. Number two, he didn't wash his hands. We give two possible explanations why that's so. And number three is that he didn't bench afterwards, and as we explained, because he holds like Rabbi Yehuda. Good. Three things of Rabbi Tzadok. But before we get to Rabbi Tzadok, the Gemara is going to go back to Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai. Because right now, there's an obvious question on them. We already pointed it out back in the Mishnah. They're going to see the Gemara inside. Maisa listor. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. This Mishnah is in contradiction to the previous Mishnah. The previous Mishnah said that if you're eating achilas arai, you can eat outside the sukkah. And meanwhile, these Tanaim insisted, no, let's eat this in the sukkah. Oh, a date? Oh, let's eat the date up in the sukkah. What are you doing? So chasur mechzer v'achi ketaniim balahachmer latzma machmer v'leis be mishum yuara. So the Gemara says that here we have an opportunity to be machmer. Meaning it's not just because the person decides that he flippantly wants to be machmir, so that also is not the best. You know, the Gemara from time to time institutes tells us that there could be a hint of arrogance in a situation where I don't have to do it, but I'd like to do it, and well, who are you to be Machmir? And that's Yura, that's arrogance. So the Gemara says, here in the case of eating in the sukkah, there is no Yura, there's no arrogance consideration. You eat in the sukkah, even if you don't have to eat in the sukkah, even if it's only achilas sarai, no, but it's okay, but you still go up to the sukkah, and you still eat in the sukkah. And you don't have to worry about Yura, because... And I guess, and why? In other words, why can we be machmir over here? My suggestion, I think it's a pretty simple suggestion, is because teshu came to dura, meaning when I eat, I normally eat inside my house. So on sukkahs, so there's nothing odd about having a snack in the sukkah. In fact, that's normally where I would be eating my food, so that's normally why we'd be snacking on sukkahs as well. So there's really no concern or consideration of yura. So that's why in our Mishnah, Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai and Rami Gamliel, even though they were snacking, okay, but let's go up to the sukkah. And now we'll understand our Mishnah. In this context, so basically the Tanayim were being machmir, and that's fine. Okay, and then the Gemara just simply quoted the Mishnah again. So hakabeitza by sukkah. So the Gemara says, okay, what is also clear from our Mishnah? Seems pretty clear from our Mishnah that if the amount that you're going to eat is the shear of a kabeitza, so you have to go into the sukkah. It's a simple diuk from our Mishnah. The problem with that is yesterday's daf. Right, so you remember yesterday's stuff. So there were two sheets in terms of how much do you need to eat in order to eat in the sukkah. In other words, what is considered kavua? So we have two sheets that we mentioned yesterday, Abaye and Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says that it's either two or three. Abaye says that it's basically the shear of a kabeitza. But in other words, but in our Mishnah, meaning a shear kabeitza can be eaten outside, greater than a kabeitza has to be eaten inside the sukkah. But meanwhile, from our Mishnah, it seems pretty straightforward. Rabbi Tzadok, the only reason why he ate outside the sukkah is because he ate less than a kabeitza. But once you get to the point of kabeitza, that's kavua, and that you have to eat in the sukkah. So the Gemara says, so can't our Mishnah be detrimental to both the positions of Rav Yosef and Abaye? The Gemara asked the question. So hakabeitza by sukkah, lemati avati yufta de Rav Yosef Abaye. Dilma, the Gemara says, no, maybe not. Pachos mekabeitza netila ubracha lo bai. Hakabeitza by netila uvracha. So the Gemara says, no, we don't have to make that deek in the Mishnah. Remember, Rabbi Tzadok did three things that were unusual. We thought, when we read the Mishnah, that all three things were linked to the fact that he ate less than a kabeitza. The Gemara says, you don't have to say that. What you could just simply argue is, of the three things that he did, two of them, you could have even said one. But two of them are linked to the fact that he was ate less than a kabeitza. Remember, he didn't bench. Remember, he didn't wash his hands. Maybe those two points were linked to the fact that he ate less than a kabeitza. But the fact that he ate outside the sukkah, maybe even if he ate more, he'd still be eating outside the sukkah. And it's just the washing and the benching that was the chiddush of Rabbi Tzadok. Okay, Adkan. All right, we are in the Mishnah, Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, and for the rest of today's daf, very interesting. We'll be spending today's daf, and truth of the matter is, part of tomorrow's daf as well, discussing Shitas Rabbi Eliezer. Shitas Rabbi Eliezer, he is throughout the Gemara referred to as a Shemuti. Shemuti, either because he was placed in Chayrim, see the Gemara Bava Metzia for discussion of why that would be, or Shemuti because he was a student of Shammai. Okay, but Rabbi Eliezer Shita is interesting. Shita Sarachas. Today we're going to see a very interesting Shita regarding Sukkah and Rabbi Eliezer. But we'll be spending it the entirety of today's daf. And tomorrow discussing various Shitas of Rabbi Eliezer vis-a-vis the mitzvah of Yeshiva B'Sukkah. Okay, disclaimer, we don't follow him. It's, in other words, it's not the practical halacha. It's not the normative halacha, but it's Torah. It's part and parcel of Torah Shabbat Peh. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Arba Esrei Sudas Chayav Adam Lechol B'Sukkah, Achas B'Yom V'Achas B'Laila. So point number one, Rabbi Eliezer says you have to have two meals every day on Sukkahs. One during the day, one during the night. Okay, the minhag was back then, we have three square meals a day, that's culturally accepted. That back then they had two square meals a day. That was the minhag back then. So Rabbi Eliezer says, fine. So we know that there's a mitzvah of yeshiva b'sukkah. We also know that there's a mitzvah that's in the sukkah all 7 days of sukkahs. So therefore, there's a chiyuv, according to Rabbi Eliezer, to have every one of those meals in the sukkah. That is Shitas Rabbi Eliezer. And the Chachamim Amar Me'ein LaDavar Kitzvah Chutz Me'Leil Yom Tov Rishon Shachag Bilvad. And the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Eliezer. Says no, their only obligation is to have a meal on the first night. After the first night, it's volitional. You want to have a meal, you don't want to have a meal, that's fine. But there's no obligation to be eating the sukkah on any other day other than the first night of sukkahs. We'll see. You'll see. Rabbi Elazar, it sounds like from Rabbi Elazar, these are dine d'oraisa. Well, the Gemara is going to explain the thought process of Rabbi Elazar. Now, Rabbi Elazar says, what if you miss the first night? So if you've missed the first night, you have a chance of tashlumim. Now, understand, we're now in the discussion of tashlumim. Tashlumim normally doesn't come up in the context of eating food on Yom Tov. Where does tashlumim normally come up? Where does the concept of tashlumim come up? Carbon. And by extension, davening as well. But carbon. Meaning the idea of tashlumim by carbon is that we know that we have, when we go up to Yerushalayim on Yom Tov, right, when there's a Beis HaMikdash, Bimhir B'Yameinu. So when we go up to Yerushalayim on Yom Tov, so we have an obligation to bring karbanos. And Olas Re'iyah, Shamei Chagiga, Shamei Simcha. Okay, we will discuss this in detail, in greater detail, when we get to the Masechta called Chagiga, which is at the end of Seder Moed. Fine. So that means on the first day of Yom Tov, we're all obligated. What if we fail to bring on the first day of Yom Tov? So we have Tashlumim. We have a chance to make it up. So if we don't bring a carbon on the first day, we can bring on the second day. And all of Yom Tov could serve as the Tashlumim for day one. That's generally speaking when we have invoked this idea of Tashlumim. Rabbi Eliezer is invoking the idea of Tashlumim by your Sukkos meals. Your Sukkos meals need to be, if you miss the first night, so you can make it up all other nights, up to and including Yom Tov Achron Shel Chag. Laila Yom Tov Achron Shel Chag. That last night called, known to us as Shmini Atzeres. Now the Gemara is going to point out, this is the Gemara's point, which I'm foreshadowing. I am so unbelievably confused about Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer in the beginning of the Mishnah just told us that you have to eat 14 meals. Meaning every, in other words, what do you mean make up? Every time you wake up in the morning, we eat a meal in the sukkah. Night, in the sukkah. So what are you talking about tashlumim? What am I making up? Aren't I eating every single meal in the sukkah? So how's that working? So, and why is Rabbi Eliezer saying, oh, if you miss the first night, you have a chance to make it up? What do you mean, chance to make it up? You're obligated to eat every meal in the sukkah.
How come it doesn't include a suda?
Yeah, that the I saw somebody ask that question. So I saw somebody ask that question. Okay, it's a question. But in the meantime, however, just dealing with the basic issue, like why is Rabbi Eliezer talking about tashlumim? Because so the Gemara is going to ask this question, the Gemara is going to give an answer, so I'm foreshadowing. And we'll come back to that. And the Chachamim said, no, you missed the first night of Sukkot, it's unfortunate, and it's too bad, and there's nothing you can do about it. And sorry for my insensitivity, but the Mishnah will echo the sentiment. The Gemara quotes the Pasuk in Kohelet. The Pasuk in Kohelet says there are certain mistakes that you made that you can't undo. The other example that's given, although it's hard to put these side by side, but mamzer, right? The creation of a mamzer. A man has an illicit relationship and as a result has a child, so he can do all the tshuva he wants in the world, but the child will be and forever will be a mamzer. And his children will be a mamzer, and et cetera, et cetera. In other words, certain mistakes that you make are uncorrectable. So here too, in other words, you missed the first night. I know it's hard to put these side by side, but you missed the first night of eating in the sukkah. So the Chachamim say, no tashlumim, you don't make that up. Yes, there's a concept of tashlumim, but that of course is by carbon, not by eating in the sukkah. Okay. The Gemara, we start with the Gemara, Maitama de Rabbi Eliezer. So what is the reason behind Rabbi Eliezer? In other words, we're going back to the first sheet of Rabbi Eliezer in our Mishnah, that you have to eat all 14 meals in the sukkah. All seven days, 2 meals a day, 14 meals in the sukkah. My time at the Rebbe Lezer. Teishu kei taduru. So the madira achas bayom v'achas balayla af sukkah achas bayom v'achas balayla. So look, Rebbe Lezer says, you know what your sukkah is? It's your house. So what do you do when you're home? So you have a meal. You'll have 2 meals a day. So if your sukkah now becomes your substitute for your house, so sukkah as well. But it's more than just as the Gemara is about to point out. It's more than just like, I'd like to have a meal. No, you're obligated to eat every meal in the sukkah, all 14 meals. Virabanan. So the Chachamim say, no, Kedira. So the Chachamim say, look, I enjoy the drasha. I agree with the drasha. But Madira, Ibai Achil, Ibai Lo Achil, Avstukanami, Ibai Achil, Ibai Lo Achil. One of the things that makes our home is that we don't have to eat. It's our home. Well, if we're interested and we're in the mood, we'll have a meal. If we're not interested, so I'll just snack and some grapes, and that'll be it. And that'll be my night. So in other words, there's no obligation to eat in my house. Similarly, there's no obligation to eat in my sukkah. So then the Gemara asks the question, according to the Chachamim, if your sukkah is your house, and you're never obligated to eat in your house, so why should you ever be obligated to eat in the sukkah? And meanwhile, as we all know, that first night, even the Chachamim say there's an obligation to eat in the sukkah. I'm Rav Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shimon Ben Yotzag, Nemar Kan Chamisha Asar, Nemar Chamisha Asar V'Chagam Matzos. So here the Gemara invokes the famous only because we know it, the famous Gzeir Shava, Ma Lahalan Laila Rishon Chova, Mikan Ve'elech Rishos, Avkan Laila Rishon Chova, Mikan Ve'elech Rishos. So just like on Pesach, there's an obligation to eat the first night, so too, Chamisha Asar, this is the other Yontov of 15th, 6 months later, other half of the year. So too, there will be an obligation to eat on the night of Sukkot. Now by Pesach, we know there's an obligation to eat on the night because of Be'er of Toch L'Matzos. Similarly now, extend that over to Sukkot. There's an obligation to eat on the first night of Sukkot. Excuse me. Okay, so we have a basic machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim. It's funny, the machlokas stems from the same point of agreement, meaning Teshu Kein Taduru, that your sukkah becomes a substitute for your house. What Rabbi Elazar gains from that is that just like you eat meals in your house, you eat meals in your sukkah by obligation. And the Chachamim say no, just the opposite. Just like you can eat a meal in your house, but you don't have to, same thing is true regarding your sukkah as well.
So would Rav Eliezer also say you have a chiyuv to sleep every night in the sukkah, and that's not an option?
Yeah, in other words, right. Whatever we would say regarding eating, I'd say all the more so regarding sleeping. Right. Remember, sleeping is more chamer, right? Like we discussed in yesterday's daf. Sleeping, you can't even nap outside. Okay. The Ode Amar Rabbi Eliezer. Okay. Rabbi Eliezer also says, so here the Gemara is bothered by the question. I foreshadowed the question back in the Mishnah. I don't understand. Bira, by the way, is the name of a Chacham. I don't understand. Well, how are we having a discussion on Tashlumim? According to Rabbi Eliezer, every meal is eaten in the sukkah by obligation, not by option. So if every meal is eaten in the sukkah, so what? Yeah, what are we talking about Tashlumim? So the Gemara says, "Avod Amar Vlazav Hamar Vlazav Arba Asrei Sudos Chayv Adam Lachol B'Sukkah Achaz Biyam B'Achaz B'Layla Amar Bira Amar Rabbi Ami Chazar Bo Rabbi Eliezer." So Rabbi Elazar had Charata. He retracted, meaning that opinion of 14 meals was an opinion that he espoused, and then he took it back. Why he took it back, the Gemara doesn't explain. Perhaps they conceded to the Chachamim's point. Whatever the case is, he retracted. Fine. So now with a retracted position, so now in our Mishnah, there's a smaller machlokas, meaning there was, at one point, a huge machlokas in the Mishnah. Rabbi Elazar says, you have to have 14 meals, and the Chachamim said, no, it was just one. Now what we're saying is, no, everyone agrees that they only have to have one meal in the sukkah, and that's on the first night. Then, what if you miss the first night? That's the machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim, where the Chachamim say, move us lo yichal litkon. There's nothing you can do about it. It's unfortunate. You missed an opportunity next year. And Rabbi Elazar says is no, that there's a din tashlumim on the meal. Okay, this din tashlumim on the meal, I mean, the Gemara is about to talk about this din tashlumim of the meal, but let's ask a simple and obvious question. Rabbi Elazar says you can make it up all the way until Shmini Atzeres.
In
the
sukkah?
Yeah, good. So that's the question I'll address. Isn't it a little bit odd? Meaning, the idea is that I'm supposed to eat on the first night a meal in the sukkah, and then if I don't, so Rabbi Elazar introduces a chiddush, which is, there's tashlumim, I can make it up. Now, I understand if I can make it up at any point in time during sukkahs, meaning the 7 days of sukkahs, because I'll be eating in the sukkah. Shmini Atzeres, we are not eating in the sukkah. Now, we live in Galus, and as part of living in Galus, we're confused, and we do eat in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, and that's based... Correct. I'll speak for myself. All right, we do eat in the Sukkah and Shmini Atzeres, and it's based on a Gemara, and the Gemara says that in Galus you eat in the Sukkah and Shmini Atzeres. Oh, fine. But in other words, in Eretz Yisrael, however, you don't eat in the Sukkah and Shmini Atzeres. In fact, it could be, probably is a violation of Al Tosif if you eat. So now it's a little bit strange. I mean, if we just try to think about it, that according to Rabbi Elazar, you miss your first meal on the first night of Sukkos, and you can make it up all the way into Shmini Atzeres. And you're going to be making up your Sukkos meal while eating a meal inside your house? Yeah, I don't have a wonderful answer, but it's something certainly to think about. Meaning that this, it leads to a bigger point. What does Tashlumim have to do with a meal? Meaning, Tashlumim is a carbon concept. Right? Davening, again, davening is an extension of carbon. So that's why we have Tashlumim by davening as well. By eating a meal, like where does he come up with this idea of where does he come up with this idea of tashlumen by a meal? Mm-hmm. It's interesting. The Gemara doesn't give a source. I mean,
the Mashal says that the idea is to eat a meal. The fact that it has been a sukkah.
It's a secondary point. Good. Okay, but it really touches on some basic questions which I don't know the answers to. I'm raising them. Okay, I should know more, but. Okay, just sharing with you what's unusual about Rabbi Eliezer Shita. And by the way, we haven't even seen the strangest part of Rabbi Eliezer that's coming up later today. In the meantime, however, Elamai Yashlim. I just lost my spot. I'm back. Mashlim Bemai. Okay, what do you do your Tashlumim with? Meaning, let's say you made it all the way to Shmini Atzeres and you forgot. You didn't eat your meal on the first night of Sukkot, and you haven't been mashlim, which, by the way, meant you went a week without bread. Okay, so ma'ya mashlim b'may. So ilam abrifta. So what are we going to talk now? We're going to talk now in terms of eating a meal with bread. So suda diyomikachel ishmin atzeres. You have an obligation to have a meal on ishmin atzeres. So no way does this look like you are making up for a meal that you missed on the first night. So ilam ayashlim ayashlim b'mina targima. So the Gemara says, okay. Mini Targima. What is Targima? It's like an age-old question throughout the Gemara. Meaning it's pastries, it's mizonos, it's fruit, it's meat, it's always subject to a debate what exactly Mini Targima was. The 10th Perek of Pesachim, right in the beginning there, if I remember correctly. Once again, we had this issue come up. But anyway, Tanya Mihachi, Imishlim, Mini Targima, Yatsa. So in other words, Mini Targima basically means, after your meal, you'll snack on... Rashi gives a couple of examples over here. Rashi, if you look at Rashi inside, Alacha Shisilak Yavio Parparos Madanum Lafanov Kigon Paris Vikistim Vikapotlos Mevushalos. Okay, pastries, cooked leeks. Okay, in other words, some food after the meal, which indicates, hey, I missed my first meal, and this will be Tashlumim. Okay. Shala Petropos Shala Gripus Amelech S. Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, the apotropos, some administrator of Agrippus the Melech, he was Jewish. Okay, Agrippus, what was his story?
He was an Edomite, no, son of an Edomite.
Sorry? Okay, all right, so questionable. But anyway, but the apotropos of Agrippus the Melech asks Rabbi Eliezer the following, go on ani, sheinu ragel echol al suda achas bayom, mao shol chasuda achas vipater. So I wonder now, and he's asking according to Shita of Rabbi Elazar, and by the way, he's asking according to the original Shita of Rabbi Elazar, even though he ended up retracting from the Shita. But Rabbi Elazar says that we're obligated to two meals in a day. Now why? So we already explained. Because Teshu Kein Taduru, just like I have two meals a day in my house, so too, that has to translate into the Sukkah. So I wonder, asks this apotropos to Rabbi Elazar, I don't eat two meals a day. I'm a one meal a day guy. So for me, does the halacha change on Sukkos? So Amar lo b'chol yom v'yom atam m'mshich kama paparos l'chav v'latzmecha v'achshav iya tam m'mshich paparos l'chav l'chvol konech. So Rabbi Elazar gives him a little mussar. He says, look, you're a one meal a day guy. Come on. You snack during the day. Admit it. You snack during the day. Now, right, all your little snacks that you have during the day, can't you? You can make a meal out of that. So for your creator, for Kadosh Baruch Hu, on Sukkos, instead of snacking all those times during the day, how about this? Have two meals, eat your two meals in your Sukkah, and enough. Fine. So that's That was one exchange. And the apotropos now asks another question. Look, I happen to have two wives. Now, what makes this even funnier is that Tver and Tzipori are not that far away from one another. So, okay? But I got one in Tver, I got one Tzipori. And needless to say, I also have two sukkahs. I have a sukkah in Tzipori and I have a sukkah in Tveria. Marsha ate them a sukkah, vi'ipater. So, can I go from one sukkah to another on sukkahs? Now, let me provide just a little bit of background over here, because you don't know this yet, unless you do, unless you prepare the daf already, but you don't know this yet. Rabbi Elazar has a very interesting shita when it comes to sukkahs. You can't change your sukkah. Right? When you have a sukkah on sukkahs, that's your sukkah. And you cannot move sukkahs. In fact, as we'll see later on this morning, according to Rabbi Elazar, you have to own your sukkah. You can't even borrow somebody else's sukkah. In other words, someone calls you up before sukkah and says, hey, can you come over for a meal? And you're asking Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar says, are you out of your mind? Of course not. I can't leave my sukkah on sukkahs. Then no. Beshita, meaning not a... Okay, so that shita is Rabbi Elazar, and we'll talk about why that should be. Fine, but that's a shita. So now, this apotropos asks Rabbi Elazar, so let me ask you a question. I have two homes. Right, I got one in New York. I got one down here. I'm a snowbird. I got two homes. Okay, so can I, with my two homes now, so according to your shita, can I move around on sukkahs from one of my homes to another one of my homes? Get ready for the answer. I'm a low.
No way.
He says no. Shani Omer call yotzim sukkah sukkah about the mitzvah social rishona. You leave your sukkah over the course of sukkahs, you're mevatel your mitzvah. According to Rabbi Elazar, all 7 days of Sukkot is one unit, which also helps us better understand his original shita of eating all 14 meals in the sukkah. Meaning that it's not seven independent days. It's one unit, and you have to be choosing one sukkah for that 7 days of Sukkot. Shavishana, Tanya. So basically, Rabbi Elazar's answer was no. Okay. Rabbi Elazar didn't fool around. Meaning that to the first question, he said, no, you'll eat two meals every day. And you'll like it. And the second time he says, no, you'll sit in one sukkah. Fine. Tanya Rabbi Eliezer Omer. Top of Chav Zayin Amid Beis. And you'll sit in sukkah l'sukkah. You cannot go from one sukkah to another sukkah on sukkahs. Ve'inos in sukkah b'chol shamoed. And you can't build a sukkah on chol amoed. So the Chachamim argue in Yotzim and Sukkah, and the Chachamim argue on both of these points. The Chachamim say, if you want to change sukkahs, you're allowed to do so, and you want to build the sukkah in Chol HaMoed, you're allowed to do so as well. Vishavin. Now here's the one point of agreement between the Chachamim and Rav Elazar, and that is Shem Nafla Shechos Rabbanu B'Chol HaShemoed. If you made a sukkah for sukkahs and it collapses, so then you can rebuild it on Chol HaMoed. Even Rabbi Elazar would agree that you could do. So my time is the Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, so let's see if we can try to start understanding. What's behind Shita's Rabbi Eliezer? Amakra chagasukas tasalach, shivas yamin. Asei sukkah haru'uya l'shiva. So Rabbi Eliezer says that you have to make a sukkah for 7 days, meaning not to be confused with what we discussed about 4 or 5 days ago. We talked about the sturdiness of the sukkah. And we said that the sukkah has to be able to last 7 days, and that's why certain sukkahs, the sukkahs that were on the bedposts, we didn't like because it was too temporary, it was too flimsy. Here, however, Rabbi Elazar is using the same pasuk, but actually drawing a different point. And the point of Rabbi Elazar is, the sukkah has to be, this singular sukkah has to be for 7 days. Chag ha-sukkahs tasalach shivas yamim. Asei sukkah ru'i l'shiva. Good. V'rabbanan hachi kamar rachman. Asei sukkah b'chag. And the Chachamim, again, use the same pasuk to arrive at a different conclusion. No, you know what the Torah is actually telling us? That you can make a sukkah on Chag. Now, on Chag, we could understand to mean on Yontif, but no, not on Yontif. Yontif is an Isra Malacha, and, I mean, you could argue, but I can't imagine. The Mitzvah's essay is going to be Docha, the Isra Malacha, and generally speaking, we know we don't make such arguments, and the Isra Malacha also has an essay with it as well. Okay, anyway. So, but you can make a sukkah on Chol HaMoed. Fine. So in other words, that explains Rabbi Elazar Shita, that explains the Chachamim Shita.
How could the Chachamim justify their stand? Because if they're saying that there's no tashlum, if you miss the first meal, you're not making a sukkah, why didn't this
This is a separate point, meaning this is beyond the tashlum point. This is the point of, according to Rabbi Elazar, you see that sukkah? That's your sukkah. That's it. And now is that your sukkah? That's your sukkah for all 7 days.
But what's your need for a sukkah? There's no point.
All right, so
and you already missed the point.
But though,
no, says, because even according to the if you do want to eat a big meal, it has to be in the sukkah. If you do want to sleep, it has
right,
to.
Right, correct. In other words, no. This is a separate point. This is not a meal issue. This is a sukkah issue. The sukkah issue is that according to Rabbi Elazar, you have to select one sukkah for all 7 days of sukkahs, and that's it. And you can't build in the middle of sukkahs, because then that's not a sukkah for 7 days. And you can't change sukkahs, because that's not a sukkah for seven. Once you're changing sukkahs, then that's not a sukkah for 7 days. It has to be a sukkah for 7 days. Vishavin. Now, the second part of the braisa is where they agree. What do they agree about? She'im nafla shechozer bono osa b'chol shamoed. That you built a sukkah and it collapses, you can rebuild on a sukkah. So pshita. So the Gemara says, now isn't that obvious? Gemara says maybe not. Ma'u detema hayachrita hiveinu l'shiva. You could have made an argument that no, it's not. In other words, it's 3 plus 4, meaning it's not 7. It's a sukkah for 3 days and a sukkah for 4 days. The fact that it collapsed and you rebuilt it, maybe you could say pan mechadash was balakan, meaning this is a new sukkah. It's not a hemshech. It's not a continuation of the previous sukkah. So the chiddush is that Rabbi Elazar says no. This is still considered a hamshacha of your first sukkah. Tanya Rabbi Elazar Omer Kishem Shein Adam Yotzei Yedei Chavasa Biyam Tavishon Shachag B'Lava Shachaveru Dechsiv L'Kachtum Lachem B'Yam Arishon Pri Eitzadur Kapos Tamar Mishachem Kach Ein Adam Yotzei Yedei Chavasa B'Sukato Shachaveru Dechsiv Chag HaSukos Tassalach Shivas Yamim Mishalacha. Okay, and finally we get to the last point to Rabbi Elazar for today, and that is ownership. Okay, not only do you have to eat 14 meals, although he retracted from that position, and not only do you have to make up the first meal, and not only can you not change sukkahs over the course of sukkahs, and not only does your sukkah have to be your sukkah for 7 days, and no less than 7 days, but on top of all that, ownership. You need to be the owner of your sukkah. You cannot borrow somebody else's sukkah for sukkahs, according to Rabbi Eliezer. And he says, you know why? Because the sukkah is just like the lulav. The lulav, which we're going to be starting in just a couple days from now, the lulav has to be yours. There has to be a ownership element of the lulav. You have to purchase it, you have to make it yours, you have to make a kinyan. So just like by the lulav there is a din of ownership, so too by the sukkah, according to Rabbi Elazar, there's a din of ownership. In fact, the Torah pretty much says so. It says, chag ha-sukkah tasalach, you have to make a sukkah for you. Then you have to be the owner of the sukkah. That is Shitas Rabbi Elazar. Can we just visualize for just a moment what sukkahs looks like according to Rabbi Elazar? So, nobody's inviting anyone over for sukkahs, right? I'm not doing this to be, I'm just giving us a sense, a visual sense of what sukkahs would be like for Rabbi Elazar. No one's inviting anyone over for sukkahs. You're sitting in your sukkah. There's no traveling. Even if you have two homes, you're still not traveling, right? Everyone's stationary. Now, how does this work in conjunction with going up to Yerushalayim and Aliyah L'Regel and I'm not sure. Meaning, how to piece all this together with being in Eretz Yisrael over sukkahs as well, with Bizman Beis HaMikdash, I don't know. But it's very strange. For us, it's strange because it's not normative halacha. But it's very strange. It's just it's an unusual conclusion. Okay. I assume so.
According to Rav Eliezer, would a shutfist work with?
Okay, we'll get to that in just a moment. Perfect question. And perfectly timed also. I'll get to that in just a moment. So, V'rabanan, Ha'lecha Maidarshi Bey. Now, the Chachamim will obviously disagree. I skipped. I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm going back. So and the Chachamim say no, they're different. The lulav has a element of ownership. But not the sukkah. Sukkah, you could borrow a sukkah. How do I know that? Because the Torah says that every citizen will be sitting in a sukkah. Now, if you can imagine, hard to imagine, that some sukkah, but all of Klal Yisrael can be yotze with one sukkah. Now, this is a point that the Chachamim are used to make, which is that there is no obligation, there's no ownership requirement. Okay. What exactly is the point of the Chachamim? So here we get to a really interesting discussion. Take a look at Rashi. We'll start with Rashi. Rashi says, In other words, the fact that all of Klal Yisrael can sit in one sukkah, that indicates that there's no ownership requirement. Rashi writes, "Demashma sukkah achas uchol Yisrael sheyeshvu ba zeachar zeh v'i efshar sheyehe lekulan delomati shevaprut lechol chad ela al yedei she'ela." There's no way, I don't care what the cost of wood is, what the cost of construction is, there's no way that all of Klal Yisrael are going to have one sukkah and everyone and any one of them is going to have a Shava Pruta's worth in the sukkah. So the only way it could work, says Rashi, is Ayde She'ela, meaning it's fundamentally your sukkah, you're the owner of the sukkah, and hey, could I borrow it? Okay. So what's that? What does it sound like from Rashi? Sounds like from Rashi that Lu Yitzu, that if it was the case that we all would have a Shava Pruta in the sukkah, so then we would all be called owners of the sukkah. That's what it sounds like from Rashi. Tosfos does not like that point. If you take a look at Tosfos over here on the Amud Beis, second Tosfos, he quotes Rashi. So, Kach Perish Bekuntros. He quotes the Rashi, I'm just dropping down to right after he finishes, quoting Kuntros, V'alchinam Dachak. And that pshat that Rashi just offered, Tosfos says, that's a difficult pshat. He came into Chas of L'chalamutah D'shut Fe'im Mashma. L'cha means it can't be a partnership. Yeah, Steve, you like that? Tosfos says that lecha means that there has to be a sole proprietor of the sukkah. And even if it's a partnership, and a partnership of course means that we both own it, but that's not satisfy the obligation of ownership vis-a-vis the sukkah. The lecha lema'uti d'shufa mashma, k'demuchachen, Tosfos brings raya achar raya, proof after proof, that this is in fact so. So it's interesting, what comes out is a very interesting machlokes between Rashi and Tosfos, and that is, what if we do own Ayidei partnership? From Rashi's perspective, that satisfies the requirement of ownership. And that's why Rashi had to make that additional point that, oh, you know what? Every partner doesn't even have a Sheva Pruta. So it's like penny stocks. It's not even penny stocks. It's like we own less than a Sheva Pruta, that's why we don't have ownership. But Lu Yitzu, but if every one of us had a Sheva Pruta's worth of share in the sukkah, then we would all satisfy the obligation of ownership. Tosfos asserts, no, that's not correct. Meaning the obligation of ownership precludes partnership. The ownership requirement is a sole proprietor of the sukkah and of that of the lulav. And then obviously this leads to a big discussion, meaning that means that you can't, by esrog, meaning you have to be a sole proprietor and you can't have a partnership by the esrog. Okay, anyway, see Tosfos for more of this discussion. Okay, back to our Gemara. Rabbanan. Okay, I'm sorry. We're in the middle of back and forth. I really should have finished reading the Gemara and then made it to do about the Rashi and Tosfos. Okay, Virabanan. Hi lecha my darshi bay. So according to the Chachamim, so what do they do with the lacha? Meaning they learned that we can all share a sukkah, we can all borrow a sukkah from Kol Ezrach. So what do they do with the lacha? So they exclude a sukkah gzula from the word lacha. Can't be stolen. Or we already discussed, you remember back on Daf Tes, well, what do you mean? Mitzvah ba'avir. How in the world could you steal a sukkah and fulfill the mitzvah? Isn't that a violation of the rule of mitzvah ba'avir? You remember back in Tosfos on Daf Tes, he asked this question, we gave a couple of answers. Okay. Aval she'ula ksiv kol ha'ezrach. But in terms of a bar sukkah is no problem. Kol ha'ezrach tells us that you're allowed to bar sukkah. V'Rebbe Eliezer, hi kol ha'ezrach my avidlei. Now according to Rebbe Eliezer, what does he do with the pasuk of kol ha'ezrach? So mi ba'ile legeshen izgar bein time, v'kanshen izgar do bein time. Oh, interesting. According to Rebbe Eliezer, what if you become a bar mitzvah on Chol HaMoed? According to Rebbe Eliezer. Right, you could have made a very easy argument. You're not fulfilling your mitzvah of sukkah. The 7 days of sukkah, according to Rabbi Elazar, is one unit, and you only now are bar chiyuv. You're only become obligated in the middle of sukkahs. You could have argued, no, you don't stand in sukkah. So the Kamash Malan is that Kol HaEzrach tells us that no, even if you become quote unquote a citizen on sukkahs. Now that's true for a bar mitzvah during sukkahs. It's also true for a ger. Right, he converts in the middle of sukkahs. So again, the argument you could have made is, okay, you're only 4 days in the sukkah. That's not enough according to Rabbi Eliezer. The Kamash Malan is that, no, Kol HaEzrach includes even the gear and the katan. V'Rabbanan, Kevin Shamru Osin Sukkah B'Chol Shamar, Lo Yitztachra. The Chachamim obviously arrived at that conclusion, but according to the Chachamim, I don't need a drasha. I get it. You can even build a sukkah in the middle of sukkahs. Meaning there is no 7-day unit of sukkahs. So if somebody becomes a bar mitzvah in the middle of sukkahs, obviously they'll be chayv in the mitzvah of sukkah. And the same thing was true with the ger. Okay, let's finish up. We have a little bit more to finish up the daf. Tanu Rabbanan. Masab Rabbi Elisha Allah Chlakba Panei Rabbi Elazar Abba Balod. Beregam. So Rabbi Elisha goes visits his Rabbi. And as we'll discuss in just a moment, there's a mitzvah to visit Rabbi Anyantov. In fact, Rashi brought down an example a couple of days ago in Daf Chafei. One of the mitzvahs, the Shluchei mitzvah, what was his mitzvah? So he went to go visit his Rabbi. So he visited Rabbi Anyantov. So he did it. Amar lo, so he got a great hello from Rabbi Eliezer. Amar lo, Eli, Einchi, Mishovse Arego. I'm sorry, Eincha, sorry. Eincha, Mishovse Arego. So, but you, what are you doing? You're leaving your sukkah? Now, granted that Rabbi Eli was trying to be nice, he was trying to do the right thing, but as we saw already a couple times today, Rabbi Eli is sharp. Rabbi Elazar says, I praise lazy people. Okay, that should be the quote of the day. So I praise lazy people. They don't leave their houses on Yantiv. Right, you should rejoice with your house. The house over here is a reference to your wife. Meaning you need to be home on Yantiv. You don't go out on Yantiv. The Gemara says, okay, but I am confused because there is a mitzvah to go visit your Rebbe on Yantiv. Right, after the death of her son, so she runs to Elisha and right, she first meets with Gehazi, right? Am I saying it correctly? I hope so. So they said, why are you coming? It's not Shabbos and it's not Chodesh. Okay, and that, and good time to say it, right on Rosh Chodesh. Mechlal debechodesh Shabbos mechayvin shlak pule ape rabbe. So on Shabbos and on Rosh Chodesh, so you have a mitzvah to go visit your Rebbe. So and it kind of goes without saying, meaning even though the Gemara doesn't say it, but same thing would be true for Yantiv as well. So Lakasha Hadazav Asabiyume, Hadazav Allah Asabiyume. So the Gemara says, okay, yes, there's a mitzvah to go visit your Rabbi Anyantif. But according to Rabbi Eliezer, that's only if you can make it back home before the day's over. If you have to go over, and it means that you're going to have to be staying overnight, and it means you're going to be missing a meal and a night's sleep in your house, no, you don't leave your house. And you forfeit the mitzvah of going to visit your Rabbi Anyantif.
Also, the incident in Haggadah Shul Pesach when other women are ready and dismissed standing outside.
Right.
What were they doing?
Correct. It's again. This is all a sheet of Rabbi Eliezer. Tanu Rabbanan Ma'aseh b'Rabbi Eliezer Sheshavas Begal Al Yom B'Sukkaso Shal Yochanan B'Rabbi Eli B'Kisari V'Amrile B'Kisar Yon V'Igia Cham L'Sukkah. So there was another story. Now we'll finish up today with this story. This is a Tosefta. They were in the Upper Galilee, and they were singing the Sukkah of Rav Yochanan B'Rabbi Eli and Higia Cham L'Sukkah, and it started getting hot. Okay, we understand this. We South Floridians. Started getting hot. Amarlo Moshe Afroshlav Sadin. Okay, it's really getting hot in here. Can I throw a sheet over the schach, provide some more shade? Amarlo, so he answers without answering. Change the subject, or just a non-direct answer. This is not the first time we saw Rabbi Eliezer do this, as the Gemara will point out in just a moment. Rabbi Eliezer will refuse to say anything unless he heard it from his Rebbe. Rabbi Eliezer was very cut and dry. So, Ein Lecha, so to change the subject, he says, Ein Lecha Koshet V'Shev Nisrael Shalom Hamid Mimenu Shofet. Shofet came from every tribe. Okay, you want to see more on this? So see Rashi. Rashi goes through every Shofet that he knows about and every tribe that he comes from. So, I'm not going to do it, but go through Rashi. Although, at the end of Rashi, he points out that there are a couple of tribes that I can't answer for. Okay, so anyway, so please see Rashi for more research on this topic. Now the sun's still rising because that's what it does every day, and now it's just getting hotter. And so now he says, please, can I put a sheet on top? So the And again, Rabbi Lazar just kind of changes the topic. You know, Navi comes from every Shevet, and you know, the kings of Yehuda and Yamin are anointed or appointed by the Nevi'im. Okay. Higir Chama Lamar Gilosov Shel Rabbi Eliezer. So now the sun is at its apex, and everyone is schwitzing in the sukkah. And Nato Yochanan Sadden Upir Shalah. And so Yochanan says enough already, and he takes a sheet and he puts it over the sukkah. Here Shel Rabbi Lazar Talitza Lachorav V'Yatza. And Rabbi Eliezer takes everything, puts it over his back, and says, okay, time for me to make my exit. Now, he wasn't trying to be difficult, says the Gemara. He wasn't trying to be exaggerating, but the fact that he kept changing topics and he didn't want to answer the question directly, but he didn't hear from his Rebbe, meaning he knew his answer was no. So why not just simply say no? He refused to say something unless he heard it from his Rebbe. If he didn't say it from his Rebbe, he just wouldn't answer. So that's why he didn't give a direct response to the question. The answer was no, but he just simply wouldn't say no.
If this was an obvious tear for these people to be sitting in the circle, right? So why don't you just get up and leave, like based on everybody else's opinion, you know, you don't have to be...
Give me one moment. So the Gemara now asks an obvious question. What is Rabbi Eliezer doing in somebody else's sukkah? Okay, meaning, we spent the entire daf today talking about how, according to Rabbi Eliezer, you are confined to your sukkah, and you can't leave. And he blasted a Talmud for leaving his sukkah. So what's he doing going to another sukkah? So the Gemara says, Rekel Acher Avai. Okay, good question. The only solution is going to be, it wasn't sukkahs. Meaning, I know we're talking sukkah, but it wasn't sukkahs. Oh, that... And that changes everything. Meaning, it wasn't sukkah. So, what was the sheet question?
They were enjoying
the outside. That's fine. So what's the question with the sadin? Muksa binyan. So v'hamer evelazim mishabeach anias sadin shein yotzim mi batim beregel. So the Gemara says, okay, but doesn't he also want people home on Yontif? Meaning, okay, so it wasn't Pesach. So I'm sorry, it wasn't sukkah. So it was Pesach. Yeah, sure. But doesn't he want people home on Pesach as well? I like lazy people on Yantiv. So the Gemara says Shabbos Havai. Okay, so it was Shabbos. Okay, so in other words, fine. So a couple of corrections to the story. So number one, it wasn't Sukkot. Number two, it wasn't even Yantiv. It was Shabbos. And now the issue was, it had nothing to do with Sukkah, being under the Schach, not being under the Schach. That wasn't the issue at all. The issue was, it was building, it was a binyan question. That was asked to Rabbi Eliezer. Okay. Well, we're going to pause now, right? We'll continue tomorrow, and basically we're going to go back to our discussion of Ohel and Binyan Ohel according to Rabbi Eliezer, the Pekaka Chalon, which we've seen already a number of times. We'll get to see it again. We'll start tomorrow morning with that discussion. Okay, again, quick review today. We talked about having a snack outside the sukkah. Sukkahs is a chance to be machmer. You want to eat every meal. In fact, you look at the Shulchan Aruch, he says... Recommended. Everything to be eaten in the sukkah. Drink your water in the sukkah. You want to be machmer, that's fine. And there's no yura, there's no arrogance in doing so. And then for the rest of today's daf, we went over Shitas Rabbi Eliezer. 14 meals in the sukkah, tashlumim, which may be a retraction of the 14 meals in the sukkah. You can't change sukkahs, you have to own the sukkah. You can't build the sukkah in Chol HaMoed. Oh my gosh. You can't build the sukkah in Chol HaMoed, meaning sukkahs according to Rabbi Eliezer. That's it. That's your sukkah. And we touched on some basic issues in terms of the requirement of ownership. Is partnership considered ownership? Vis-a-vis the mitzvah of sukkah, according to Rabbi Eliezer, vis-a-vis other mitzvahs. Okay, discussion, machlokus, rashi tosfos. Okay, a lot of good Torah tonight.